TA. I like to tune in to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It's wicked piss up.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is the first big picture of 2019. Are you on mic four?
I'm always on mic four.
Say that again.
I'm always on mic four.
No, you are in fact on mic three. Mic four is over there.
Well, I'm always on whatever mic you didn't turn on. Right.
So you're on the usual mic. Derek Gary and Chase Mullane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. And
I will say I love this song. I'm sad we only listen to it once a year.
We've had our first technical difficulty of 2019. Less than 1 minute into the first show of the new year, Derek has pressed the wrong button.
Should I lie and say that I'm shocked or...
No, it's just something that happens around here all the time, isn't it?
I think it adds to our pizzazz.
My God.
To be perfectly frank.
2019 is upon us.
Tis indeed.
2018 is...
1-2-19.
Can I tell you how much I hate, like, the start of the year?
Oh, yeah, me too. Like, so much.
I don't want to drag...
And not just because wager thing is a nightmare.
Yeah, were you working on New Year's Eve?
I worked, so I got New Year's Eve off, but I worked last night.
Yeah. Same aggravation, worse tips is really what that comes down to.
Bigger aggravation, worse tips.
Yeah.
It was a series of people who were from out of town who were visiting, mostly. I'm going to say this in the most racially tolerant way I can say, but there are certain cultures that don't really understand the proper tipping policy in America.
Yeah, Germans.
Who also are annoying as hell.
Germans. It was Germans, wasn't it? Just say it was Germans.
God, you're so far from the truth.
It was Germans.
But it was, I kept getting just like, it was, I could tell my boss was like trying to close the restaurant. And then every time he'd like come out to look, a one top, that means one customer, would come in and it would stop him. And I'd be like, I'm going to make 50 cents off of this.
Yikes. 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 Yeah.
I'm glad to be here with you in my favorite place in the world.
I don't want to drag New Year's because any excuse to go out and get drunk in a funny hat is good. That's a good
Especially
thing.
Especially when they provide the funny hat.
Right.
Which most places do.
But it's like, you wake up the next day, and it's New Year's Day, and it's the same garbage that it was the day before.
Yep.
The same idiots are still in charge of everything.
Yep.
The same idiots are surrounding you every day. Yep. And you get to start the year with the most unpleasant task of taking down all the Christmas decorations and putting them away.
Oh, see, that's where we have a difference. Because, first of all, staying with my mom, our usual listeners know that. Second of all, I don't put up Christmas decorations. They're pretty much a waste of time.
You're a Scrooge and a Grinch, and you know I have to accept that about you. But
you forgot atheist. I'm also an atheist.
If anything is going to make me convert to Judaism...
Agnostic. I whenever I say atheist, it makes me cringe a little bit.
If anything is going to make me convert to Judaism, it is this annual ritual of taking down the Christmas decorations. Because it is depressing as hell. Because as you're taking them down, you're realizing that the fun is over. You got 3 months of winter hell that you got to get through now. I cannot imagine that putting a menorah back in the cupboard... is nearly, or up in the attic, is nearly as traumatizing as taking down the Christmas tree and taking the lights off the house and the whole...
Oh, absolutely.
I hate it.
way less bubble wrap involved when you're just taking down a menorah.
It's like, could we start the new year and just be like, hey, we're going to do something different. We're going to have 17 months this year. We're going to try that.
One of my 22 cousins on my mother's side, and let me explain, 22 first cousins, not counting their children or spouses, 22 cousins, one of them converted to Judaism like 5 years ago. And everyone kind of gave her guff about it, just being like, why we are so Irish, Scottish, Catholic, whatever.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? And everyone gave her guff. And I was sitting there being like, you might know what's up. you might have the right idea. Especially because obviously her whole family is still going to celebrate Christmas. So she gets to get the cool part of Christmas, which is like family get-togethers and like all the good food and blah, 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 while not having any of the stress that is involved
the rest of us
in actually being a Christian yourself. So I am very excited. I'm in such a terrible mood. Guys, am I ever in a terrible mood?
Are you ever in a good mood? It's a better question. Well, here's the thing. As usual, it is our worst of, where we look back on the worst of 2018. Most people make lists of the best things of the past year. No, we always look at the worst. And I got to say,
put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Comparatively speaking, 2018, not that bad.
Shut up.
Not that bad. I mean, for you, yes. You had a terrible 2018. But in the broader sense of the world,
am I ever not mad? That's like the meanest thing anyone's ever said to me. Sorry, continue.
Not a bad year.
Even taking myself completely out of it, I totally disagree.
What? Why? I mean, what?
I'm about to prove it to you.
All right. Well, you're going to prove that it was terrible. I'm going to prove that it wasn't that bad. Let's do it.
We were supposed to do the worst ones, right?
Yeah. So let's start with the local.
Well, for me, my worst local story of the entire year, shoot, I should have put the date on these. This is definitely from like 8 or 9 months ago. Is Alexander Ciccolo. And he is the 26-year-old who also went by Ali Al-Amirki, who plotted an attack at a university with pressure cooker bombs and firearms while attempting to recruit others to assist. His father, Boston police captain Robert Ciccolo, is the one who alerted authorities, causing his son to be arrested on July 4th, 2015.
He's a good kid. He made a mistake. Did anyone say? I don't think anyone said that about this guy. I don't recall that being tossed around in an attempt to get the public to treat him kindly. No one was saying, oh, he's a good kid.
No.
Everybody was saying,
even his father is the one that turned him in to authorities. Can you imagine that? Like, I think about, like, I love my brother very much, but there are times that I'm like, he's totally capable of committing murder. And if I witnessed it, I would probably plead the fifth if they put me on the witness stand. This dude was bad enough that his father turned him in.
Yeah, my son is a self-radicalized member of ISIS.
Like,
can you please get him?
And he's the captain of the Boston police. Yeah. It's not even like he was the captain of like the Worcester police. He was the captain of the Boston police. Like, he's captain of pretty much, within a 250-mile radius, the most important police precinct. And his son is doing this.
But in the case for 2018 not being that bad, dad turned him in and the guy didn't kill anybody.
True. And he got 20 years behind bars and supervised release.
He doesn't deserve supervised release.
He killed himself. That part I forgot. That was the important part.
See? So now we don't have to worry about him anymore. He saved the taxpayers money. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of cases to be made for that being a good story coming out of 2018.
That's why, by the way, Derek, I told my father when he and I were talking about mass shootings the other day, and I said, Derek always says, the most important thing that any person who wants to do a mass shooting needs to do is to try the gun out on themselves first. And my father said that was the most accurate and hilarious thing he'd ever heard. So kudos to you, because nice. My dad does not laugh lightly.
Nice. So I know one guy who had a bad 2018, and that was Arthur Medici of Revere, who became the first person in Massachusetts to be killed by a shark in 82 years.
Oh, my goodness.
He was a gentleman.
I remember the story.
Yeah, he was a gentleman who was surfing off of Wellfleet when one of the great whites came along.
Who gets eaten off of Wellfleet?
And this was in August. And guess what everybody's going to be talking about when tourist season kicks up again in the Cape? Like, where are the sharks? How many sharks are there? Should we go to the Cape? That's going to be a story in 2019. It's not as if the beach was any safer, because we also had one person dead and 18 infected with Legionnaire's disease up at Hampton Beach that was traced to, by the CDC, hot tubs at the Sands and the Harris Sea Ranch, although the Sands vehemently denied that their hot tubs were behind the Legionnaire's disease. But for me, the big one. The big one. And this is probably the biggest story in Massachusetts.
Capital B, capital I, capital G.
Probably the biggest story in Massachusetts in years. September 13th. And that's all I should need to say is September 13th.
September 13th.
When everything started blowing up in the Merrimack Valley.
Oh, yeah.
And we had
40
homes burned or blew up.
That made and ruined a lot of my 2018, actually.
Yeah. If you live anywhere around here, you were impacted by this in one way or another. Because
that was terrifying.
People were displaced. Businesses were closed. You couldn't get in or out of the Merrimack Valley for several days while they were making sure that the gas had been turned off. 18-year-old Lionel Rondon lost his life in one of the most tragic accidents. Because he's sitting in a car and a chimney falls on him. Because he's just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
He's the Stephen Parent of that situation.
Yeah.
Do you get my reference?
Yeah, I do. It's ridiculous.
For those of you who don't, Stephen Parent was the guy who was considering buying a clock radio off of the caretaker of the Sharon Tate house the night of the Manson murders.
Yeah.
And was leaving as the murderers came in. Wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
But no, I remember being in a convenience store that had, you know, a lot of them, just because they're standing there all day, will have like TV, like tiny posted up TVs. And he and I just stood there for like 20 minutes just watching it all unfold, just watching Andover explode.
Yeah.
And it was funny because, like, we stood there for so long and then finally looked at each other like, oh, we already completed our transaction. Like, this is weird that we're both still just kind of standing here hanging out.
Yeah.
It did lead me to meeting one of the best loves of my life, which I do not regret. But at the same time, it was pretty terrible.
So, again, your argument is that 2018 was a terrible year. My argument was it was not so bad. If there is a silver lining to what happened in the Merrimack Valley, only one person, and this is no comfort for their family at all, but only one person lost their life in a situation where literally dozens of people could have been killed.
Oh, yeah.
And you had a nice autumn with the Wichita lineman, who's still on the line.
Oh, my God. Don't call him that. He's a Wichita lineman. Jesus Christ.
He's the Wichita gas lineman.
I want to stab you. Worst national story.
There we go.
Let's move on. For me, it's Marjorie Stoneham Douglas.
Yeah.
Both because of what happened on Valentine's Day, which was 17 people were shot dead by a dummy. I'm trying very hard,
yes,
as we speak about these things, to not say these people's names, because that's their whole point in doing this, I've realized.
As the school resource officer cowered outside.
Yep. Well, that's why this is the worst national story, because they started the Never Again rally. They had meetings with lawmakers and other Florida officials trying to talk about gun legislation. They even like met with people in Congress, like in Washington, and led this whole big thing that a bunch of people all across the country participated in. And since then, I mean, I can't count how many people have died in similar situations. And that's why I think this is the worst national story, is because these kids, they're kids. They can't even vote yet.
Yeah.
And they really tried really hard to do something about this epidemic that's going on. And to no avail.
Will you take a tiny, tiny victory out of this? It's tiny.
I mean, if it's a worthy... If I believe you...
It is, because in the aftermath of all of this, President Trump said we are going to ban bump stocks.
Well, yes, that's true.
In December,
aftermath of Las Vegas. That wasn't in the aftermath of
No, that was this. In March of this year. That was following Stoneman Douglas. President Trump said we are going to ban bump stocks. The Attorney General issued the decree in December. Gun owners are already suing to try and stop this, but as of March 1st, gun bump stocks are allegedly going to be illegal in the United States of America. It is a tiny, tiny, tiny victory.
But that's my point. It's like the tiniest, and I'm not discounting that. That is absolutely good.
Yeah. Against the awesome power of the NRA, who, by the way, are not suing. They're not the ones that are suing. It's another gun group.
We were just talking about this 2 weeks ago, about that video that somebody released after I forget which shooting, but where it was like, this is why the right to bear arms was put into place. Like, this is what they were talking about back in 1781 Was that when it was? Yeah, 1781. But it was like them with muskets, and it takes like 30 seconds at least to reload one more bullet.
Right.
And I can't, I call this the worst national story because it breaks my heart that these kids actually tried. So many kids don't even care anymore. And these kids actually tried, and like, oh, there's no more bump stocks. Awesome.
You know, interestingly, there were only two super high-profile shootings in 2018. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, obviously, was one of them. Make it three. Yeah, because there was the one
outside of Vegas.
The Western Bar. The Vegas one happened last year.
Yeah, the Western Bar that I used to go to all the time?
Yes.
That one?
That one, and the November 2nd Pittsburgh synagogue attack, in which 11 people were killed by a deranged gentleman. Not even worth being called a gentleman. If you look at the sum total of mass shootings in 2018, I think we're actually down a little bit from 2017.
But the thing is, Derek, those are the ones we heard about because they were newsworthy enough.
Well, I heard about plenty more over the course of the year.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
Yeah. But maybe, I don't know. I like to think that what happened at Stoneman Douglas sort of calmed everybody down for a little while, at least until the second half of the year, because we pretty much made it through the rest of the spring and the summer without any terrorist attacks in this country, without anybody picking up a gun and shooting a bunch of people in this country, without people driving cars into people in this country.
I can't believe Vegas was last year. It feels like yesterday.
Yeah. No, that was late in 2017.
I was going to say, it literally feels like that just happened.
Yeah.
Not just, but...
Yeah.
And that's, I mean... I guess that's my point, is... Because as I've talked, I don't...
Who dat gonna take on?
I don't really like to talk about what happened in Thousand Oaks.
Yeah, who dat gonna take on them NRA? Yeah, that's your problem.
That's my point. Is that that's why I said this was the worst national story. Is like how the NRA keeps like pissing and moaning, and it's like, dude, look at the evidence. This is not helping anybody.
Well, you can make the argument, as I have many times, that simply getting rid of guns is not the solution.
It's not, but at the same time, I mean, I'm a liberal jerk, and I have considered buying a gun just for my own protection.
Sure.
And the police officers in London, one of the other biggest cities in the world, don't carry guns.
No, but they do have high-powered assault rifles in the trunks of their cars. So
yes, but how often do they use them? How often do you read a news story on Interpol or...
Pretty much every time some ISIS wannabe comes walking down the street and trying to kill
people.
But
that's the thing. It's like it happens so rarely.
It happens. That happens more often than you'd like to realize.
No, but as opposed to here, I mean... It happens much more rarely.
They get more terrorism than we do over here. There's no question about that. We get more mass shootings than they do over there. So it's a take your pick situation. There's a lot of angry people in the world. They're armed.
Come on. I spent like 6 months trying to get my Irish citizenship.
Ireland, not a lot of shooting over there.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. I got to say...
That was such a crass thing to laugh at.
The other worst story for the year for me was the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, which just descended into a complete circus and a complete nightmare.
Yep.
I said at the time, I didn't think he should be confirmed because whatever's going on with the drinking and the partying, to me, was not befitting a Supreme Court justice. I don't believe that he physically assaulted any of these women that came forward. We had the conversation about what Dr. Christine Blasey Ford had to gain by coming forward and lying about it, which is, if you believe that millions of women are going to die because this guy makes the Supreme Court, well, there's your motivation. But then he gets on the Supreme Court, and what does he do in one of his first cases? He sides with the liberal wing and tells the states, no, you can't defund Planned Parenthood. So there's Mr. Millions of Women Are Going to Die because he's so anti-abortion. I mean, this thing was ginned up and oversold and turned into a complete nightmare by political operatives who, I believe, lost a tremendous amount of credibility among the American people through this whole circus and who are going to pay the price for it in the upcoming 2020 presidential election. And we'll see how that plays out this summer, because a number of people who were involved in those hearings are likely candidates on the Democrat side, and they're going to have to deal with a credibility issue. The general attitude toward a lot of people in the center and on the right has turned against the people responsible for the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. So we'll see.
It's on either side of the fence, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I think there are enough Democrat true believers out there who are like, no, the end justifies the means, and we had to do this so that America would see what's happening. And it's like, I don't know.
That's the thing, is that so much of, I do not, while I may be liberal leaning, ever so slightly, mind you, I do not identify as a Democrat. And one of my biggest beef with our government is the fact that it's you're Democrat or you're Republican. Yeah. And
it's good for fundraising.
It's annoying as hell, though.
Yeah, but it's good for fundraising. It makes presidential elections easy.
Oh, that's adorable. That's totally how a government should work.
I'm just saying that's why they do it. And good luck trying to change that. We've had people trying to change that for 100 years now, and it doesn't go anywhere.
Are you kidding me? It was totally different. Like the old Republican, that's what I love. I love when people are like, well, Abraham Lincoln was a Republican. I'm like, hey, dum-dum, that meant something completely different.
You know who
in 1862.
You know who else was Republican? If you want to get right down to it, Lyndon Baines Johnson. So, you know, let's talk about the Dixiecrats.
LBJ.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Southern Democrats and what they were up to in the 1950s and the 1960s.
But that's what drives me crazy about this, is that we are, I mean, it's the same way I feel about religion. And I know I've talked about this on the show before, but just that it's like, you're supposed to be like very intricately molded and shoved into this category.
Yeah.
that I know almost no one who can just be shoved into a category, who is just exactly one thing. The people who I do know that are like that are morons who just blindly follow what they're told to do. And that's why I hate that both sides are going to suffer as a result of the whole Kavanaugh thing.
Well, see, I'm wrong because I support gay marriage but oppose open borders.
Well,
and see, that makes me wrong. No matter which side you're on, you've got something to hate with me just for those two positions.
I would say that's the thing, is that like I'll say my opinion to people and they'll be like, I thought you were a liberal.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm Shay, actually. It's, did you think my name was liberal? It's Shay. Somewhere the lines got crossed, apparently. All right, let's move on. International story. Khashoggi.
Jamal Khashoggi.
Khashoggi.
Yeah.
I read more than I watch.
Yeah.
Well, which makes me smart, but also makes me not pronounce names properly.
Can we talk about how stupid this was?
It was the stupidest thing in the whole world.
Can we talk about, because when
that's
this...
That's why it's my worst international story.
When this story broke, we didn't even talk about it on this show the first week that it came out there, because I read the story... And I said,
because you're just like, what?
This is some kind of high level international nonsense going on between Turkey and Saudi Arabia, because there is no way in hell that this thing played out the way the Turks are claiming that it did. And then a week later, the Turks come out, or Turkey comes out, and they go, we have audio to prove it. And it's like, wait a minute, what do you mean you have audio? And then they have to sit back for another week and try and come up with a believable cover story so they don't have to admit to the world that they've bugged the Saudi Arabian embassy, which they have. And what's the story? Oh, Khashoggi left his iWatch on while they killed him. And that's how we recorded it. No, that's not...
That is the most 2018...
So bad. So bad.
My hands are on my face. That's why my voice is little.
Like, you should be fired from the intelligence agency if that's the best cover story that you can come up with. Oh, he left his iWatch on while they killed him. Yeah, the 30 guys that they flew in to kill him didn't notice that his iWatch was broadcasting.
By the way, he walked 3 miles that day.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like... Everybody's sitting around trying to say this didn't happen and the crown prince wasn't involved. Well, nothing is happening in Saudi Arabia without the crown prince's blessing. That's the way Saudi Arabia works. And the really bad news for Saudi Arabia is that there is one less George Bush to defend the House of Saud at the end of 2018. This ranks up there with the stupidest things. I mean, that's a thing that happened territory. Were it not for the fact that an innocent journalist is dead and there are international political and nation leaders involved in it.
And we're not 100% sure where his body parts went.
May have been smuggled out in diplomatic packages.
Like, that looked, I was going to say, I saw that footage and just sat there being like, am I watching the news or an episode of Dexter? Like, it was very touch and go there.
If this had happened in Florida...
Except their car was nicer than Dexter's, so...
If this had happened in Florida, I would have been like, yeah, Florida.
Yeah, like, this seems to make a lot of sense.
This is Saudi Arabia. And
Saudi Arabia is weird, man.
Well, it's just another reminder that Saudi Arabia, at the end of the day, is still medieval.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're not our friends, and they're not even with us in the 21st century.
As I've told you, one of my best friends from growing up was Saudi Arabian, and his father, I'm not going to say their name on the radio because that's incredibly rude and probably incriminating as a result of what I'm going to say. But his father was always, quote unquote, away on business. And then he and I grew apart, whatever, it's childhood. Saw him like 20 years later. His dad had to go back to Saudi Arabia because he was apparently part of whatever their version of the mafia is there. His mom moved to Canada.
That would be the House of Saud.
Yep, that. His mother moved to Canada to avoid the backlash she would get as a result. And most likely
with U.S. escort.
He hadn't seen him in 12 years. And they always had cheeseburgers, though. They always had cheeseburgers. And they had a Doberman, which now, looking back, makes so much more sense.
Yep.
Like, that there was just a Doberman guarding their house.
Yeah, if you believe.
She loved me, but she ate all of my Chuck Taylors. Yeah. Damn you, Abby.
If you want a murder dog, it's probably for a reason. It's just when you don't hang out with people who have the murder dog.
He was really fun, though.
Yeah, so bad look for Saudi Arabia, which saw their big international investment conference fall to tatters after everyone was like, yeah, we can't go hang out with the Godfather. Sorry. We're going to stay home. Mine, worst international of the year, because this affected me personally and affected possibly you personally and people that you know personally, is the Cambridge Analytica scandal.
Oh, God, I remember that.
Facebook handed over data on 87 million users.
So stupid.
To a university researcher who thought it would be a good idea to sell all that to Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon has looked at your personal information. How do you feel about that, kids? Is that a guy you want looking at your stuff? No, it's not.
God, I remember when that happened. And you just came in here, like, guns blazing, like, let's get on the radio.
Yeah.
Right now. Because, and rightfully so, don't get me wrong. I mean, oh my goodness.
Now, that's in addition to the fake news on Facebook. That's in addition to the Russians waging disinformation campaigns on Facebook. That's in addition to Facebook's involvement in genocide in Myanmar, where they have been accused by the United Nations of stoking anti-Rohingya resentment. That's in addition to the people who have been beaten to death by mobs in South America and India because of things that appeared on Facebook. That's in addition to the people who committed suicide because they were bullied on Facebook. Here is my question. How many people need to die before someone is going to regulate Facebook? Which I might add, is a completely unnecessary social media site. There is no reason why it even needs to exist or be a part of your life.
Yeah, Mark, you're already a billionaire. Like, just let it go.
How high does the death toll need to go before our government... Well... The answer,
people have literally killed themselves on Facebook Live.
The answer, of course, is a lot higher because our federal government...
That's why they stopped Facebook Live.
Our federal government is still run by septuagenarians and octogenarians who don't even know what Facebook is.
Oh, good words.
They don't even know what it is. They don't know what it does. They don't know how it works. They call these guys in for hearings and they're like, did you do the thing with the thing? And then Mark Zuckerberg says, we're going to take a look at that. Don't worry. And they're all like, oh, he seems like a nice young man. As he shuffles
He's a word I can't say on the radio.
As he shuffles around in his ill-fitting suit.
Oh, God, I hate that guy so much.
Yeah.
I wrote my college thesis on Facebook, by the way, Mark. And it was mostly about what an expletive you are.
Somebody ought to bring Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg up on war crimes.
Well, I love that if you type in Cambridge Analytical... Analytica. Why can't I say that word? Analytica scandal into Google, the first thing that comes up is Cambridge Analytica and Facebook, : the scandal and the fallout so far.
Yeah.
And that is a New York Times article from April 4th, 2018. It's my college thesis was about, I wrote a 50-page paper on this. And the assignment was to write a paper about the biggest media outlet like, or the media outlet that most changed the way that humans communicated, and why it's good or why it isn't. And I chose Facebook and why it isn't.
Because Twitter didn't exist yet.
True. But at the same time, I still stand by that paper.
Yeah, no.
I get an A on it, by the way.
Yeah. They're both hot garbage.
But it kind of ruined human interactions.
Yeah.
And it just made everything pretend and made everyone's information way too available to everybody else. Because for every person out there who can make a Facebook account, there's a person who can figure out how to hack it.
Yeah, that's part of it. Here's the thing. When Facebook first started, wasn't that bad?
Facebook started, it was literally to share assignments between people you had classes with.
I started college
the year it started.
Yeah. Back in the days when, like, everything on your timeline was chronological and you saw everything that all your friends posted and everything was good, it was like, all right, hey, I like Facebook. Then they changed it. And then they started figuring out, oh, we can use this to sell advertising. Then they started harvesting ridiculous amounts of data about each of us. I believe it is The Guardian did a takedown a couple of days ago of just how much data Facebook and Google are collecting on people. It will horrify you if you read it. It will horrify you.
Well, even in the past week, which it's weird to have people's New Year's resolution to be to no longer use social media.
Yeah.
In the past week, like, a lot of comedians that are really good and could benefit from the positive parts of Facebook have just been like, hey, guys, I'm donezo.
Yeah.
This is my email. This is my Instagram account. Because Instagram is so much less invasive about your personal...
No, it's not. It's Facebook.
No,
Instagram
it's
is Facebook.
Much less invasive about your personal information.
They harvest just as much data as Facebook does.
But you have...
It all goes into Mark Zuckerberg's big cloud in the sky.
But Instagram doesn't know where I went to college. It doesn't know what city I live in. No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does, because...
Unless I wear a Fordham t-shirt.
Can I ask you a question?
In one of the pictures I post.
Is your username on Facebook and your username on Instagram the same?
No.
Have you ever used Instagram immediately before or after using Facebook?
Shut up, Derek.
Mark Zuckerberg knows exactly who you are.
Well,
those accounts are linked.
I guess we have to hire someone to kick Mark Zuckerberg in the shins.
This is the point.
I've been plotting this for a decade to have someone just kick Mark Zuckerberg straight in the shins.
This is the point. If you're sitting there going, well, I'm going to stop using Facebook, but I'm going to start using Instagram. It's the same thing.
It's really not, though. They're owned by different people.
No, they're not. Instagram
is
owned by Facebook. The Instagram team left Facebook earlier this year because they were sick and tired of the way Facebook was running it and trying to take everyone's data.
Thus... they are no longer owned by Facebook.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Instagram is 100% owned by Facebook. Facebook bought Instagram.
Gary Vee is one of the owners of both and has established that they're two different companies.
They're not two different companies. I work on the other side of this, Shay. This is my life. This is what I do for a living.
That's
okay?
Terrifying.
I can buy ads into both of those platforms at the same time. You know what that means?
Yeah.
That means they share data. Okay? I am not one of the bad guys, by the way. I am not one of the bad guys in this whole...
I no longer believe you.
Data gathering and targeted advertising thing. I'm not. I swear to God, I'm not one of the bad guys. We operate very ethically where I work, which is more than I can say for any of the companies that we work with.
Do you want me to say your full name on the radio right now?
No. Mark Zuckerberg knows who I am. He knows how I feel about him. He knows what I'm saying. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
And he can sit on it and rotate.
He knows what you've been liking and tagging. So keep using Facebook, for goodness sake.
Well, that's why I purposely say mean things to him on Facebook.
Yeah.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Constantly, I tag him just being like, hey, Mark Zuckerberg, You're a butt munch.
I'm sure he goes home and cries into his billions and billions of dollars.
Of course he does. He also uses them as toilet paper. What are you doing?
Don't know why.
10 minutes early.
No.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Your Boston 5-day forecast. If you're going to be out tonight, particularly if you're going to be out late tonight, particularly if you're going to be north of the city late tonight, watch the roads because it is going to drop down into the 30s and there is going to be snow and sleet and potentially ice about. So drive very, very carefully if you're going to be out late tonight. Tomorrow, that turns to rain, highs in the mid-40s, lows around freezing tomorrow night. Friday is mostly sunny, a little bit warmer, high in the upper 40s, lows in the mid-30s Friday night. Saturday, rain is back. Highs in the mid-40s, lows in the mid-30s, and then Sunday the rain clears out. Partly cloudy skies, highs in the mid-40s, but lows falling back into the mid-20s Sunday night, setting us up for some cold weather that is going to be with us until sometime in March. That's
pretty much.
Yeah, if you're
that's kind of the lot you've ordered
if you're,
when you live in New England.
If you're wondering when winter is going to show up, the answer is Sunday night. That's when it's coming in because we're not going up above 40 until the middle of the month, and by then, yeah, we know where we are.
WMFO Medford, by the way.
Yeah, WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture, our annual look back at the year that was the worst of 2018, and that will continue here on WMFO Medford right after a little of this.
Hello,
hello,
Mr. New Year, hello. Oh, yes, we welcome you here. We'll wipe our tears of yesterday, for New Year has come our way. It's true, Mr. New Year, it's true. The love we see through you will fill our imagination and give us inspiration. This is the reason why we make resolutions, and this is the season to give more contributions. Hello, Mr. New Year, hello. Oh, yes, we welcome you here. We'll wipe our tears of yesterday, for a new year has come our way. This is resolutions, and this is the season to give more contributions. Hello, Mr. New Year, hello. Oh, 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 yes, we welcome you here. We'll wipe our tears on yesterday, for a new year has come our way.
Of the U.S. Air Force would like to wish America a very happy new year. We're working to help make 1984 a time of peace and happiness for everyone around the world. It's rewarding work, and you can help. Ask your recruiter how. From all of us, here's hoping the new year will be your happiest year of all.
The U.S. Air Force.
Hi, I'm Ann Margaret, here to wish you a most happy new year.
Paul McCartney on behalf of Rad. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. Remember, if you're partying this holiday season, don't drink and drive. Got it? It's just not worth it. Doesn't make sense. Thank you.
Yes, I'm gonna be a star.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shea Spillane. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you until 9 o'clock.
Hoorah!
If you want to, that really threw me off, T. If you want to give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. And we're doing our annual Worst of the Year show.
Shea Spillane operating from the perspective that 2018 was the worst year ever. I say not so much.
Oh, it wasn't the worst year ever.
I say not so much. I say it's
the worst year ever was 2001. It was just like kind of terrible.
No, even 2001. I mean, there was a couple of bad weeks in there.
Yeah, that 9/11 thing was pretty bad.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. That was that was pretty bad. And a couple months after that were pretty bad too, because we had anthrax in the mail and planes falling out of the sky.
Oh, right, all that stuff happened too.
Yeah,
I was too fixed on 9/11 to pay too much attention.
Yeah, but
I was also 15, so you know, like boys and stuff.
Yeah, not one of the better years in recent memory, but certainly 2018 was better than that.
Okay, I will give you that 2018 was better than the year that planes crashed into the Twin Towers.
I will say that 2018.
I think that is an accurate statement.
I will say 2018 was better than 2017, 2016, and 2015.
Agree on the 17 and the 16, not the 15.
Better than all three of those years.
Oh, shut up.
We'll see.
Well, so now we're on to our worst sports stories.
Yep.
For me, it's when a Yankees fan threw a beer can at Craig Kimbrel. Kimbrel, just as he was heading out of the bullpen. I went through, because you know sports is my least favorite subject, yeah, unless it's involving the Red Sox. But I did go through every single sports story that I had from this past year and just looked and was like, yep, this is the one that makes me the angriest. And you can see, like, based on, that's the best part is if you watch, you can look up the footage of this online and you can see based on how it lands, it appears to be pretty much full. So that means like he could have actually really hurt him if it had actually made contact, especially because he's coming from above and gravity and velocity and things like that.
That's what you're trying to do as a dumbass Yankee fan in that situation.
No, but see, I've known some dumbass Yankee fans who will throw their empty beer can at somebody just as like a gesture of disrespect. But that, I mean, think about with velocity and what's the other word I'm looking for? Momentum. A full one? That will have the weight, like a beer weighs what? Like maybe a pound and a half so. With those two Newton-y principles behind it, it could weigh up to like 15, 20 pounds. And that's hitting someone in the head with.
Well, I mean, for years, people hucked batteries at ball players. You know, because that.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. That used to be a big thing.
That's gross.
Yeah. People use it
and
just
a waste of batteries.
Well, I don't think you huck new batteries to the ball players, but that was a thing for years. People hucking batteries at baseball players.
Gross.
And they finally cracked down on it. Because people.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah. They finally cracked down on people throwing batteries at
people.
People
were getting hurt. You know,
Jesus,
and I mean, it's like throwing bottles and cans and throwing stuff on the field is a time-honored tradition in sports.
Oh, absolutely.
It's been going on forever. It's been going on as long as we've had organized sports. It's always bad when it happens.
Which is since cavemen started throwing rocks at each other.
Yeah. It's always bad when it happens. Seldom as bad as what happened in Cleveland in 1995, where they drove the officials off the field. They were throwing so many bottles around.
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
See, you.
But now, here's my thing. Because I'm making the case that 2018 wasn't that bad. That was your worst sports story for the year. Somebody hucked a beer at Craig Kimbrel.
I knew this was coming.
All right. You know what my worst sports story for the year is? Le'Veon Bell sat out the season. That's my worst sports story for the year.
Do you want me to like give you a hug or something?
No, but this is my point. Even if you want to make the argument that everything else in 2018 sucked, sports didn't. sports in 2018 was good. Sports worked.
Aww.
Larry Nassar went to jail. The NFL wasn't caught hiding information about concussions anymore. There weren't any huge sex scandals at any of the universities.
That's so cute. Is cancer cured as a result
of
it?
No, but I'm just saying. What we've gone through in sports over the last few seasons has been horrendous and really hit its nadir with the NFL ratings tanking amid all of the player protests in 2017. This year, everybody sat back, watched sports, had a good time. Notre Dame makes the college championship.
Did you forget about the whole kneeling thing?
Red Sox, but that was over this year. There were a couple people that kneeled at the start of the season, and then nobody was paying attention to them because they weren't on TV, so they stopped, and that was the end of it. Turns out when you stop
that was the end of it for the sane American citizens, not for the one supposedly running them.
No, but it turns out when you stop pointing cameras at people, they stop acting like idiots. Who knew? Well, you know.
I did.
But it's like, from the Adam Thielen catch, or no, the Stephon Diggs catch in that Minnesota playoff game against the Saints last January, all the way through to the Red Sox winning the World Series, this has been a damn good year for sports. This has been a damn good year for sports. Tiger Woods comes back, revitalizes the PGA Tour.
I hate that I'm actually super happy about that.
Yeah.
Was and like that's the thing is that a lot of women get really mad at me about being happy about things like that, but I'm just like, it, you have to learn to compartmentalize and also remember that everyone's a human being and makes mistakes.
Venus Williams has a baby, comes back, and she's crushing it.
Get it girl.
I it's been a great year in sports, and it's been scandal-free for the most part.
Obviously, you're making it sound like I don't respect athletes. I absolutely respect athletes. I just don't have a particular interest.
No, that's fine.
In sports.
That's fine. But
I spent my entire life, my athletic outlet, whatever, was dancing.
But
do you know what even a tennis player would say if I was like, I'm just as athletic as you, I can do a tour jeté? They'd be like, what the hell is that? And no, ballet isn't a sport.
Yes, it is.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it is. But you get, and just not, I love the Red Sox. Other than that, I just watch it and I'm like, yeah, it's cool that you can do that thing with throwing the ball that way or like hitting it that way or putting it in that round thing.
I'm just saying, in a year where everyone's talking about how divisive everything is and how everything's coming apart, everybody sat back and watched sports and had a good time.
Yeah, but you at least have to recognize that was the outlet for what a terrible year it was.
But if sports can somehow stay above the fray, then let's give a point to sports.
Which is why sports are fantastic, and I appreciate, at least, even if they're not for me, other than the Red Sox and baseball, and even if they're not for me, I can appreciate their worth.
The NFL does need to do something about its franchise rule. And the fact that Le'Veon Bell sat out this entire season demonstrates that. Because when you have a generational talent at a skill position choosing to sit rather than play because he wants to get paid, or you have Earl Thomas breaking his leg, season-ending injury in a contract year, getting carted off the field and flipping the bird to his teammates, we have a problem with the way the contracts are structured in the NFL. They need to address that. And it will come up during collective bargaining, and it will be a part of that whole thing. But that was really like no steroids, no sex scandal, nobody died. Thank you, sports, for giving those of us who love sports, whatever sport you happen to love. I'm an NFL guy. I will tolerate other sports, but I'm pretty much just football. But thank you, sports, for giving us an oasis. In the middle of all of this, because that's what we turn to sports for. That's why it's there.
I would say it is. I will, and that's the point I was trying to make, is though I don't care for sports, Though, if you write up a contract to say that I'm betrothed to Rob Gronkowski, game changed. We'll totally care about football. But it is, I do agree, it's an important outlet for people. And I appreciate that.
We like our outlet.
Speaking of outlets, electricity. No, just kidding. But the worst entertainment story. This technically originally started in 2017, but it's been... it's super fun buildup has been 2018. So I'm just going to drop the word Weinstein.
Oh, you mean the year that everyone who was accused in the Me Too movement went free? Because that's pretty much what 2018 is turned out to be.
Uh-huh.
Weinstein is actually going to go to trial, which he should.
Mm-hmm.
Louis C.K. is back on the circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Spacey's getting perp walked tomorrow, I believe, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Nerdist guy, Chris Hardwick, he's back on the air. Like half the people who were accused, nothing happened to them. Moonves is gone.
That's... When I said that 2018 was one of the worst years, this is largely what I was talking about.
Well, it was a bad year for women.
No, it was not a bad year for all women. Some women...
No, women who like sports had a great time this year.
Oh, no. Some women got their 5 minutes of fame. And I said five because 15 would be being too generous.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole Rose McGowan, Asia Argento angle wing of the Me Too movement took a serious credibility hit and may have cost Anthony Bourdain his life. We will never fully know what happened in that
situation.
He was
one of my favorite people in the world, by the way. But that's the thing, is that my opinion on a lot of these men that have been accused... The ones who deserve it, which I am, or at least I have in spurts been deeply enough in the entertainment industry to know how much of it is bull crap. God, it's bothering me. I can't say the other version. Or how much of it is valid. But for a woman like myself, it's been very annoying to have the way that men treat me be changed as a result of women that are just like, he looked at me wrong. I'm going to talk to the New York Times about this. Because like when the Louis C.K. story broke, for example, I happened to be doing a show at Nick's that night with four male comedians. And all of them, of course, wanted to talk to me about it.
Sure.
And they were like,
did any of them ask if they could take their pants down first?
Oh, no, I just took their pants down for them. This is my point. I'm not allowed to say stuff like that anymore because it makes me seem anti-feminist.
Right.
But I said, but like they're asking me about it, and they're like, so we never even realized, like, does stuff like that happen to you? And I was like, yeah, it happens all the time, but it is what it is. Like, seriously? Like, when's the last time it happened?
On my way here.
And I said, no. I said, right now.
Yeah.
And they said, what do you mean? I said, would you be having this conversation with me, your colleague, if I weren't a woman? Would I be feeling uncomfortable about wearing a tight dress right now if we were having this conversation? I wore this for me. Screw all of you. Like... But, like, you wouldn't... Don was there, and I looked over at Don, who I'm very... Don Zolo, great comedian, hilarious human being in general. But I looked over at Don Zolo, I was like, would you go up to Don Zolo, like, do you ever feel objectified? Do you ever feel like you're treated differently because of your sex? No, you wouldn't. And I hate that this is happening right now.
Yeah.
But this is... Even though it's low grade, this is exactly an example of that.
Well, this is how you get ahead in our social media world. You need a narrative. You need drama. WMFO Medford. FCC likes it when I say that. But this
is it.
Hey,
FCC, you're my favorite. Just kidding.
This is part of what social media has wrought. because...
Well, that's the thing. You can't just be a human being anymore.
No, you have to have a story, and you have to be part of history, and you have to be important. Otherwise, no one's going to give you a gig.